You would astonish us with you, who you are. Astonish us with your voice, with your word. Pray, Lord, that we would not just be informed today, but transformed by your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Hosanna. Thank you, Lord, that you came and that you come to us today. And we pray, Lord, that you would move us into action today. Help us to hear your invitations for your great glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. So welcome, beautiful church family. I love you each. Welcome online. I know Judy's on Zoom, and welcome to those who tune in later. Today we're going to talk about heroes. Okay, so this week Paul and I had the pleasure of spending some time with a lot of heroes up in Johnson City, Tennessee. A humble group of seminary students wrote cards of comfort and hope late Monday night for the 80 teammates of a 20-year-old athlete who was tragically killed by a hit-and-run drunk driver. A cloistered monk, Brother David, played and sang angelically for a beautiful ecumenical prayer service called Adoration that we got to be a part of on Tuesday night, with many people from area churches praying in unity. And then two young women provided a place of fellowship and belonging by opening up their home and serving them yummy treats and just themselves. Heroes are hidden in plain sight all around us. So today we're going to talk about two particular heroes. One that we've met from afar and often seems larger than life. And the second hero we'll look at later is much more reluctant most of the time. So first, what is a hero? Because we're looking at Hebrews 11, and this morning in our prayer time before the service, Nancy was praying about, we're looking at the hall of heroes, which was really encouraging to me. Sometimes we hear it as the hall of faith, but anyway, what is a hero? So I don't know if you realize this, but the definition of hero has changed quite a bit over the years. You know, it's probably been a word that's been around for thousands of years. But in general, it's someone who, in the face of danger, combats adversity through feats of ingenuity, courage, or strength. Now, I think we're all drawn to heroes, and hopefully most of us realize that we should choose carefully who our heroes are, because the people we admire, we tend to want to emulate them in some way. So when my kids were young, I was constantly reading hero stories to them, from Queen Esther to Jim Elliot, Amy Carmichael to Count Zinzendorf, Corrie ten Boom to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Hero stories can heal our wounded hearts and minds. They can help us to grow personally, and they can inspire us to action. So we're going to meet our first hero today in Scripture. We've already met him, but we're going to turn to Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. So we're going to read it one time, unpack it a little bit, and then we'll come back and read it a second time. So Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. So let's start with a little context. So 3 weeks ago, Alan launched us into our look at heroic Abraham in Hebrews 11. And as Alan said, we, like Abraham, cannot hope and have faith at the same time we're fearing And 2 weeks ago, Zach reminded us that even though Abraham and Sarah should have been done by worldly standards, God can intervene in the trajectory of our lives at any time. And then last Sunday, Nancy encouraged us that like Abraham, we can break free from those things that tie us up and eagerly and expectantly watch and wait for God. So the writer of Hebrews in chapters 11 and 12 urges us to consider the faith of many heroes, women and men who have gone before us. We are invited to imitate their faith in God in order to participate in the restoration of the already but not yet fully arrived kingdom of God. I love that, already but not yet. We get to taste it. So God's gift, the kingdom of God is basically God's gift of wholeness, harmony, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. And the Lord wants us to turn away from whatever disturbs this restoration. And he wants us to choose and embrace that which enhances restoration, resulting in harmonious relationships with him, with one another, and with creation. So as we read today's scripture again, let's pay attention this time to the verbs that indicate Abraham's actions. I always love to notice certain types of words, so today we're noticing verbs. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. So you may have noticed slightly different things, and of course every translation is different, but I noticed five main verbs that indicate actions of Abraham as contrasted to what God did or said. And so four of them started with the letter R, so I chose a helpful synonym of the first one that begins with R, because I love memory aids to help me pay attention to what God's saying. So the first verb in this translation was offered. So offered is not just, you know, I'm offering someone a compliment. It's a relinquishing. Abraham relinquished Isaac. Abraham received God's promises. Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son. Abraham reasoned. And again, we see the word receive. Abraham, in a sense, did receive his son back from the dead. So we're going to look at each of those in turn. So the first verb is the first action, relinquish. God called Abraham over and over to relinquish the things that were most precious to him. So in this passage, which is a difficult one, he was asked to relinquish his child. But if we read the whole story of Abraham, God also called Abraham to relinquish his home, his extended family, his relationships, his community, his reputation, his status, his influence, his independence, his safety, his certainty, his confidence, his stability, and even his future and his legacy. Now, we have the benefit of reading the whole story, but try to put yourselves in his shoes when he was first called to go somewhere he didn't know. So everything that could have been shaken was shaken in his life. But scripture tells us that Abraham did what God asked of him by faith. Abraham cared more about what God wanted than what he wanted. So we're like, how on earth did he do that? So the next four verbs tell us, part of how was Abraham able to do these things, to give up those things that were most precious to him. So these give us insights into how Abraham put his faith into practice. So firstly, he received the promises of God. Now there's a world, we all know this, there's a world of difference between hearing, reading, or even knowing the promises of God and actually receiving them. So I picture, you know, like it wouldn't do us much good if we went to a banquet or even a potluck and didn't eat anything. You know, God instructs us in Psalm 81:10, open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. So when Abraham received God's promises, it meant that he opened himself up and actually and allowed those promises to change the course of his life. So we're also told that Abraham was ready to sacrifice that which was incredibly precious to him, even though he didn't understand. So he readied himself to give his all to God. So at its essence, to sacrifice is to give up something good now for the sake of something better in the future. And you know, the thing is with God and the kingdom, he doesn't always tell us why. He'll tell us to do stuff and we're like, but this is good, why? He doesn't always tell us that. So how did Abraham become ready? Now, we might have Abraham on a bit of a pedestal. You know, he's one of the patriarchs, you know. He's one of the big dudes that gets mentioned in a lot of songs, a lot of stories, paintings, you name it. Every church in the world you go into, every Christian church, is going to have a painting of Abraham in there somewhere. Do we think that Abraham was just going along and got zapped by the Holy Spirit? Do we think that just it was like zap and he was ready? Or is it possible that Abraham was fully human, just like us, and had to take one step at a time? And so one foot in front of the other. That sounds more mundane, but that's the reality of life. You know, we read the summary in Scripture, and we're like, wow, from this great feat to this great, and really, how many days, how many years, months, years passed where it was ordinary one choice and then another choice? So Abraham readied himself by choosing to trust God one small step at a time, and that enabled his faith to grow. So Abraham also reasoned, and the word used here is the Greek word logizomai. Excuse me, there's my Greek pronunciation going out the window. From that, we get our English words logic and logical. So in this faith journey that we're all on, he didn't just switch his mind off, but he took everything into account. He thought through all that was involved before reaching a logical conclusion upon which he based his decision. So I found a quote, came across a quote recently from Pope John Paul II. Faith and reason are like two wings on which the human spirit rises to the contemplation of truth. God has placed in the human heart a desire to know the truth. In a word, to know himself. So God invites us to engage our whole selves in loving him with all that we are. And we know from Deuteronomy 6:5, God commands us to love him with all of our heart, which includes, it's one of those words that's gotten all fuzzy in our day, but the Hebrew there means not just our heart, but also our mind and our will. To love him with all of our soul, which includes our desires and our emotions, and to love him with all of our might. And this is from the original Hebrew, a word I've never heard interpreted this way, includes all of our muchness. Isn't that great? All of our muchness and our abundance. So then we see the word receive again. So Abraham received again. And in this sense, he made a decision to obey God and to receive whatever God wanted to give him, whether it was what he expected or hoped for or wanted or not. So he let go of the controls. And that reminds me, it's sort of a foreshadowing of when Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." So when God first called Abraham, he was very comfortable, very settled. And I'm not sure if you noticed this, but he was very wealthy. So God called comfortable, settled, and wealthy Abraham. He was actually called Abram then, to become heroic Abraham and to embark on a life filled with both adventure and sacrifice. So it's easy for us to read about someone like Abraham and just go like, well, I disqualify myself because I'm not worthy of that kind of calling. But you know, when we look at the whole counsel of God, the reality is that God's call to become heroic is a call for each and every one of us, because each of us has been created in the image and likeness of God. So that's right, the second hero we're talking about today is you. We're often much more reluctant, aren't we? God has called you to this heroic journey. So Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, "Take up your cross and follow me." Now notice he did not say, "Take up the cross and follow me." He said, "Take up your cross and follow me." So God's call to you and to me is to take up the very unique crosses of our very unique life circumstances, the unique personal responsibilities that are set before us that require us to embrace suffering. This is the call to become heroic. So a hero is one who chooses to be an active participant in the midst of suffering. And we have temptations to resist. We're all tempted to run away, to check out, to hide. The Bible's full of stories like that. Church history's full of stories like that. We are all tempted, but God will help us to be active participants. And the good news is that God is love. So that means it's impossible for him to be indifferent to our suffering. If you remember nothing else, this message, life is hard, but God is good. And we sang about that. He's always good. It's his character. He's always with us. He always loves us. So on this hero's journey, we are going to each face challenges that stretch us beyond what we can see. We're almost never going to be able to predict what challenges we're going to come up against. But we can be 100% sure we will encounter formidable challenges. And when I prepared this, I didn't know we were going to sing Amazing Grace in that song. I love it how God brings unity in the Spirit so much. This wasn't in this particular version of it, but I think we all know the lyrics. John Newton put it so well. Many dangers, toils and snares. You know, we sing along many days through many dangers. It's like that is heavy duty stuff. But God's grace is amazing, and he's with us and he's for us. Sometimes, hopefully rarely, but sometimes we're going to be engaged in life and death battles. Sometimes we're going to be tempted to give up. But through all of the inevitable crises, setbacks and failures and downturns, always remember God is with us and for us. None of our problems None of our obstacles, none of our challenges will even slightly damage or destroy the providence of God to bring good out of evil. So being heroic means we cling to God, come what may. He's with us. I keep saying it. I'm saying it to myself. So there's a lot we can learn from Abraham. So I want us to take a few moments. I want to invite you to reflect on where we're at personally today in light of these things that we notice in Abraham's life. And I want you to pay attention to where the Holy Spirit is nudging you. So I'm going to ask just 5 reflection questions and then leave some space. Tamara's going to play quietly in the background. Then we're going to talk about just a very small number of things after that, and then we'll have an opportunity for lingering longer with the Lord if you need more time to sit with any of these. So these are all to do with those 5 R words. So I invite you to just position yourself in a comfortable way and just inside of you, you know, just it helps me to have images like open wide your mouth and I will fill it. So let's open ourselves up to the Lord, expecting Him to meet us where we're at. So Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to see. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. So the first question is, what is it that God is asking you to relinquish today? What promise from God do you need to more fully receive, or even receive for the first time? In what ways can you ready yourself for whatever is coming up next in your life? Where is God directing you to think well and deeply, to take everything into account, and make responsible decisions based on sound conclusions? What would help you to hold your hands out to God in complete surrender to receive whatever God allows to come your way? So as we are drawing to a close in a few minutes, let's peek ahead to what follows the end of the list of heroes in Hebrews 11. So if we keep reading into the next chapter, which is still part of the same passage, even though it's called Hebrews 12, there's some precious encouragements in there. Let us run with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus. Don't become weary and give up. Take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Brothers and sisters, God is cheering us on. A huge crowd of witnesses is cheering us on. Many, many voices throughout church history are cheering us on. Echoing Mordecai's question to Queen Esther in the biblical book of Esther, who knows? Maybe you were made for just such a time as this, here and now. You can be a hero here and now. Contemporary author Jordan Peterson wrote in his biblical series, "If you're aligned with God and you pay attention to the divine injunction, then you can operate in the midst of chaos, tyranny, and deception, and flourish." You could hardly hope to have a better piece of news than that, given that that's exactly where you are. You can flourish here and now, hero. And then my last quote is from 19th century theologian John Henry Newman, who wrote in his book Meditations and Devotions, "If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. He may take away my friends. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, make my spirits sink, hide my future from me. Still, he knows what he is about." You can flourish here and now, hero. God knows what he is about. So we're going to sit with these thoughts, and I invite you, if you feel like the Lord has a word for the body, just to call out a prophetic word or a prayer. We can just wait on the Lord, and I'll close off in about 5 minutes or some point. So we wait on you, God. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.